morning of kind of crazy. It's called Let's Get Crazy. So probably when you think about let's get crazy, you don't think about church things. You don't think about Bible things. Maybe when you think about getting crazy, you think of some guy jumping off of a cliff with a bungee cord. Anybody think that's a little bit crazy? When I was 25, I always wanted to jump off of a cliff like that. I was a little scared because I have a little back issue and I didn't want it to pull my back out, but I'd always thought that was cool and crazy. Now that I'm 49, that is just crazy. It ain't cool anymore to me. Maybe when you think of let's get crazy, you think of a rave party and getting all wild and all crazy. I don't know about you, but when you think of the Bible, you may not think of crazy. But then if I said, well, let's focus for a moment on Bible stories that just gets a little crazy. Maybe what pops into your mind is when David in 2 Samuel was ushering the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. And the Bible says he took off his outer garments. How would you like me to take off my outer garments and dance around Go Church? Talk about scandal in Katy, Texas, you know. Foursquare would be calling me from headquarters. You need to fly back to California. We need to have a talk. I don't think it would work very well. And so a little scandalous here. He danced so much before God. His heart was pure, though. Even his wife despised what he did. And you know that story. His wife despised him, and he said, if you think this is not dignified, I'll be even more undignified than this before my God. Maybe when you think of let's get crazy from a biblical sense, you think of Peter when he's in the boat and Jesus says to step out, and he begins to step out, and what happens? He steps out. At least he has faith, right? And then he lost it for a second and began to sink, and there's Jesus reaching down and pulling him back up. At least he just got a little crazy and stepped out in faith. My message is not something like Elizabeth Chin would say, YOLO, you only live once, so just let's get crazy. It's really not anywhere close to that. It's really about, what if we truly believed this book? What if we truly lived it? I know, that's just so crazy. What if we lived with an eternal perspective? Like eternity really matters. I know that sounds crazy. How would things like that alter our lives? How would it alter our family? How would it alter the community, the people that we interact with on a regular basis? So if you got your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 2. I'm going to get to 15 in just a second. I want to preface it, tell you kind of the story leading up to it. Jesus has just died. He has risen from the dead. He's ascended into heaven. The disciples are told to wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes, and that they would be endued with power to be his witnesses. So in Acts chapter 2, all the disciples are in Jerusalem doing what Jesus told them to do, praying in unity together. You know what happens? The Holy Spirit falls, and they begin to speak in all kinds of tongues, and people thought they were crazy. People actually thought, dude, these people are drunk, because what is going on here is totally crazy. And then what happens? Peter stands up and begins to explain to them what happens. And that gets us to 15. This is what Peter says. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. Third hour meaning third hour of daylight, roughly about 9 in the morning. But this is what is spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Everybody say all. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy. Right after this, Peter gives an altar call. 1,000 people gives their hearts to Jesus and they get baptized. Not only do they just pray a sinner's prayer, but we know from Acts chapter 2:42 that they were faithful to the doctrines of the Word of God, it says. That they were faithful to the body of Christ, to the local church they were a part of. They were faithful to celebrating communion together. They were faithful, the Bible says, to prayer. So let's get back to Acts chapter 2, 17 through 18. The Bible says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Prophecy in the Old Testament tended to always speak of things foretelling of the future. This is going to happen next week. This is going to happen next month. This is going to happen in 1,000 years from now. Prophecy in the New Testament oftentimes, and may I say the majority of times, is the very presence of God speaking through us as believers. Could be in a setting on a Sunday morning. We have a prophetic word oftentimes at Go Church. It could be in your small groups. We highly encourage that as well. But it could also be in just my conversation with somebody. I meet up Don at Home Depot. Don's a worker at Home Depot. I'm having a conversation, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit downloads a word for Don, a prophetic word that I am to speak it to him. It is oftentimes, it could be a reference to the past, to the present, or it could be the future. The prophetic should be active in all of our lives. The Bible says here in Acts chapter 2, young men shall see visions and old men shall dream dreams. I don't think this is attempting to be exclusive here, where young men can only see visions and therefore old men can't see visions and young men can't dream dreams, only old men can do it. I don't believe that is what it is saying at all. I believe it's bringing us back to the original verse that said, I will pour out my spirit upon all. Everybody say all. All, meaning young men, meaning young ladies, meaning old men, meaning older women. All believers will have the privilege of operating in the gifts of the Spirit if they desire. It is God's will for them. Young men will be filled with the Holy Spirit and will minister under the power of God. Young women will be used by God to minister in powerful ways. This is not the gospel for older people only. It is the gospel for the young and the old. It is the gospel for the men and the women. It is the gospel for all of us. Amen? God wants us, young and old, men and women, to be used by God. He's not looking for a pastor to influence a city. He's looking for a people of God to influence a city. Now, this is a little bit crazy in the context of that. You have to picture this was written 2,000 years ago in a time that it was a very male-dominated society. And God is saying, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. My women will minister under my power. This is just a little bit crazy back then. Now, looking at 2020, what if we actually believed this stuff? What if we actually believed that God wanted to use you and me, men, women, young and old, as vessels of his goodness to transform the world around us? I know, it's just so crazy. What if we actually believe that God wanted us to be filled with the Holy Spirit and with his power as an instrument, as a tool for his glory, as an ambassador for Christ? What if God wanted to use you to prophesy into other people's lives? What if God wanted to use you to speak forth a tongue in an interpretation on a Sunday morning setting or in a go group? And you're thinking, nah, not me. That's a little bit crazy. Now, hear this about tongues, about the gifts of the Spirit. God is not looking for a sideshow. The gifts are not meant to create a supernatural chaos, but the gifts are designed to allow God to flow through us to bring order to the body of Christ. The gifts of the Spirit are there to equip us, not so we can go home and go, woohoo, the Holy Spirit was good today. What if, and I'm not opposed to doing this, now hear me, I'm not opposed to doing it this way, when we pray for the sick, we get all loud, you know, we put them on the floor, we jump on them and start kicking them, you know, we kick them in the gut, all these crazy things. What if we just had the faith to believe that my hands have no power except the power of God, could lay hands on the sick and they would recover, and we just use a very calm voice to do it? Because the gifts of the Spirit are not designed to create chaos. They're designed to bring order to the body of Christ. The charismatic, we as charismatic Pentecostals, don't need to be ashamed or afraid of the gifts of the Spirit, although we have seen all kinds of abuses out there. People are scared to death of them because they've seen all the garbage out there. We need not throw the baby out with the bathwater because people abuse them all the time. We need to be true to who God's called us to be. There was a guy that, this is not in my message, but I'll throw this in. There was a guy about 10 years ago. Anybody remember the Lakeland Revival? He was a guy named Todd Bentley. I don't have a problem with tattoos, but he had tattoos all over. The Lakeland Revival fell apart because he was having an affair with his administrator, and he was getting drunk after every revival service. The moment that guy began creating that revival, I felt in my spirit something is wrong there. There were people in our church traveling all the way to Florida to these meetings, and I told them something is spiritually wrong, and we do not celebrate that. He fell within a couple of years. He was restored back to ministry. They've just done a six-month investigation and found out he was doing crazy, crazy sinful stuff. If I described the things he would do, and you would need to send anyone younger than 13 out of this room right now. It's not PG-13 friendly. And he is being asked to step down. Now, he is making a mockery of the gifts of the Spirit. Now, is he anointed? He may be anointed. But it doesn't mean he's honoring God in a process. People are going to run from the gifts because of a man named Todd Bentley has used an anointing for his own selfish gain. We must be a church that follows this book and say, as crazy as it sounds, we will believe it, we will walk in it, because God did not give us the gifts to create chaos. He gives them to bring order to what we are doing. What if we are so crazy to believe that God wants us to dream dreams? What if we are so crazy to believe that God wants us to be the light of the world to those around us? What if God wants us to believe in faith that we can reach our neighbor for Jesus? What if God wants us to reach people and love people in such a way where they begin to flock to the body of Christ because they feel such love? This morning we're going to talk about four areas of let's get crazy. Number one, let's get crazy. Crazy about living this book out. Now, let me tell you how to start living this book out. This is what I'm about to say to y'all is going to be crazy. Okay? I mean, when I say it, you're going to like, oh, I've never thought of that before. Are y'all ready for it? The best way to get crazy and live this book out, get it? Ready? Read it. Read it. Rob put out a video on his Facebook, and I forwarded it to the church Facebook, Go Church Facebook. So if you haven't seen it, go look it up. It's about him using the devotional guide this year to be in the Word. I just finished the book of Malachi, reading the Old Testament last year. I just started the book of Matthew, reading the New Testament for this year. The best way for us to get crazy living this book out, guess what? It's called reading it. You know what I get so tired of people saying? Well, I don't know what the Bible says, but I believe. And I'm always very nice and very kind about it, but I'm thinking in my head. Do you ever think things in your head that you don't say out loud? You think in your head, I don't really care what you think. I care what the Word says. Believers need to not believe what we think we believe. Believers need to know what we believe because we read it in this book. We're not defined by our circumstances on our theology. We are defined in our theology by the Word of God. We need to get back to a timeless truth. Now let me tell you back to what I believe. I believe I can win every board game I play. I believe I can win every volleyball game I play because I'm decent to people that play volleyball that don't know how to play. I believe that I can beat my cousin Ryan in pool every time I play. Where's Ryan? Right there, Ryan. It doesn't mean it's truth. You will never hear me admit that beyond this sermon. We need to get back to a timeless truth that's not defined by a culture or politics, a truth that is eternal, a truth that doesn't waver. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8 says, the grass withers, the flowers fade. The flowers in my backyard are the ones that Robin tries to grow, will definitely die. Ouch. But the word of God stands forever. How do we get back to believing this timely truth? We read the book. And you say, you know, when I read Revelations, I get all, it's just messed up in my head, or Daniel, or somewhere else. Start with the book of John. Start with the book of Matthew. Let me tell you about the gospel. There are aspects of the word of God that are very complicated, that are very deep. People have been debating them for thousands of years, but the gospel itself is not complicated. It's very simple. It's very straightforward. It is very easy to understand. We have these right here. We've passed them out over the last couple of weeks. They're called our Go Read, the devotional guides for the course of a year. If you did not get one or want an extra one or want a one, just kind of raise your hand, and they are coming around and passing those out. Rob's video is using this exact piece to use it. I use it in my devotional on a daily basis. What if we actually believed God for the unbelievable? What if we actually believe when there is an obstacle in our way, as Edgar preached on last week, believing that my God is a God of miracles? What if we actually believed that God could do the unbelievable? This is what my Bible says about it. Ephesians chapter 3:20. It says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly. Everybody say exceedingly. Everybody say abundantly. Above all that we could ask or think. This is where it gets, not if that was good enough, but then it gets even better. According to the power. Everybody says power. And this is where it gets totally crazy, that works in us. Is that not crazy? That for some odd, strange reason, the God that created everything says, I want to partner with Lee Brockington. I want to partner with Tommy Gore. I want to partner with my believers. I want my power to flow through them, as messed up and as weak and as frail and as in our struggles and all of those things. God says, I want to partner with you. That I can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Is that crazy? Now hear me, I'm not preaching a gospel that I am powerful or you are powerful at all. We are nothing, but when the power of God flows through us, when God partners with us, the power that comes from God through us is powerful. Acts chapter 2:17 said that he will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. What if God wanted us to live this book out like never before in 2020? When so many people are running away from this book, what if we as a body of Christ ran to this book like never before? We live in a season where the values of this book are controversial in the workplace, are controversial at school. You are even afraid oftentimes to talk to your next-door neighbor about it because you don't want to get into an argument. I know this all sounds crazy. This is really foolish, but this book also says that he would take the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, right? Crazy, I know, but what if we actually lived this book we call the Bible? Let's get a little bit crazy. What about crazy about loving people? What if we were so crazy to love our neighbor? Wow, that would be crazy. What if we did tangible, simple, tangible things to love people in 2020 to Jesus? Probably this will happen in February, but we will move into our building. We'll move in January. We will have a grand opening in February. We're going to have hopefully some hamburgers, some moon jumps, and just have a church service and then come out of the parking lot afterwards and just celebrate together. What a great time to invite your neighbor, your friend, someone who is unchurched. Maybe they would never come to church before, but maybe they would come on that day. Just a tangible way. What if when Derek Johnson, they would never come to hear some short, white, 5'6" kid, I'm not a kid anymore, I'm a middle-aged man, preach, but maybe they would come to Derek Johnson and hear a night of worship, and the Holy Spirit would use that moment in worship to touch their hearts. Maybe they would never even hear Derek Johnson, but maybe they would want to hear about a homicide investigator that spent 30 years in the field but was also a lover of Jesus named Phil Waters. Maybe they would want to hear him speak and not me, and maybe your invitation would bring them to hear him, and it would plant a seed for the gospel. You've heard me say it. They claim it takes 7 touches. Now, 7 touches is an average. Somebody may hear the gospel for the first time, get radically saved. That's great. You can't say no. You got 6 more to go. You can't get saved. I can't pray with you until we got 6 more seeds to plant. No, you know, it's just an average. It may take someone 8 or 9 or 10 seeds, but they say on average it takes 7 touches. What if Phil Waters is seed number 4? What if he's seed number 7? And somebody comes to know Jesus because we've made it available. Crazy about loving people. We're not doing it. It'll happen later on in the year, but this last year we did BOG Sunday, Be Our Guest Sunday. What if you invited somebody to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? What if our go groups, we would love our go groups to have a simple, tangible outreach about every 8 weeks. So what I mean by simple and tangible is this. Simple and tangible to me means too often people have this grand idea. You know, we're gonna spend thousands of dollars and we're going to have this huge thing. And we do it and then we get burnt out and we get tired and we think we are never going to do that again. Simple and tangible means about small, simple things. That doesn't take a huge amount of effort, but we are intentionally outreach-oriented. What if we as a church and our go groups plan simple, tangible outreach to go and love on our neighbors, to go host a barbecue at our home where they come over and meet the rest of our church family within our go group, that is, not all of our church family? What if we had simple ways that just would plant the seed? Simple and tangible. I've asked RJ to come up. RJ said, okay, I'll do it. Don, can I get the microphone? I have some questions for you, and I'm probably going to forget them if I don't look at all of them. But RJ came to BOG Sunday, Be Our Guest Sunday, about 3 months ago. He works with Shelley, and so don't hold that against him. And she invited him as well as Daphne to come to BOG Sunday. He came, right? Story right so far?
Yes, correct.
All right. And if I don't look at my notes, RJ, I'm going to forget them all. So I don't have a whole lot of questions for you. But at BOG Sunday, you made a decision to follow Jesus Christ as your Savior, correct?
Yes, sir, I did.
You've gotten to know you. It sounds good. Amen. We can celebrate that. You've gotten plugged in to Edgar and Bianca's Go Group.
Yes. We go every Thursday.
Yeah, every Thursday. 7:30. Come if you're not plugged in. Now I meet with Edgar, or I office with him every day, so we get to talk about everything. And one of the things that I get so excited when he tells me stories about what God is doing in the group, and you're such a celebration of that. And one thing he told me about this week is that he had asked you to pray. And let me stop there and say, let me tell you about this. To me, as a pastor who's done this thing for 30 years, one of the hugest step of growth and maturity in a young believer's life is when they step from, no, let somebody else pray, no, not me, to when they, in a small group setting, go, sure, I'll pray. I'm nervous. I don't know how to talk to God. I've never done that out loud before. You know, that's crazy. Am I supposed to say, thee if thou art, who art in heaven? You know, how am I supposed to do this? And now just talk to Jesus, just like you would talk to me. Okay. When they actually take that step, that is not a small step in their faith. That is a huge step in their faith. This last week, RJ was asked to pray, and he was like, I don't know. And Edgar said, yeah, go ahead. And Edgar told me he got teary-eyed hearing you talk to Jesus. Huge step in your faith. So I've kind of done all the talking, but this is my question. What has the Lord been doing in your life over the last couple of months?
So he's taught me to have faith in him. And, well, first, I was welcomed here, and I was welcomed with open arms. So it made me be able to connect to him a lot faster and easier because of everybody here. When I first came, I felt really welcomed and loved by everyone. So it opened a door that I never had opened before in my life. Never really had Jesus in my life before, but now I'm connected to Jesus and I believe in Jesus and I have faith in Jesus. So it's different and it means a lot. And I've learned that, you know, if I just open the door to him and he'll be there for me and he knows what he's doing with my life. So,
amen. Were you raised in church at all?
I didn't hear you.
Were you raised in church?
No. So the only thing where I would go to church was my grandma's service every year that we had for 10 years. And that's the closest thing I had to
Once
church.
A year is his only interaction with the body of Christ up until he came, because a lady at work would be so crazy and bold to invite a friend to church. Would you just give it up for Shelly and for RJ? Thank you. Last week when Edgar was preaching, he had us all get in the small groups and he talked to us about celebrating the stones, gathering the stones, celebrating what God did. And I told my small group that my stone is two of these people over here. My stones are the new converts, and please don't get me wrong here. I love it. If God calls you from another church to come here, and God is leading you here, man, we need all the people we can get, okay? But we are in the business of reaching new people for Jesus. We are in the business of leading them and discipling. I get so excited. My stones of 2019 have to do with these people that we as a church get to raise up and mature. How could God use RJ for the kingdom of God? Just think about it. We get to disciple him, and I didn't prepare him for his answers, but one thing he said, he came in here and he felt loved. What if we did simple things as this, and we do these, having a greeting team that doesn't get caught up just chatting among ourselves, but get caught up on greeting people. What if we had people at the coffee, and we do all these things, that when they come to the coffee, they just feel authentically loved? What if we had teams in the children, and when they drop off their kids, man, they feel so crazily appreciated that these teachers get the privilege of pouring into these kids? What if we had a church that when we see someone visiting, we go and meet them and just spend time with them? I think we do a great, great job, but one of the things I noticed when we got into our small groups last week, there were about two or three families that formed a group just in their own nucleus family. And I'm like, ooh, no. A couple of them, I'm like, yeah, you're going to get in with us. What if we made sure that we were very intentional about finding that person that we feel is missing or is not connected, and we connect them? It's tangible, simple things. What if we just got really crazy about loving people? What if we got really crazy about serving people when we go to Walmart or go out to eat? I don't know where my notes are anymore. What if we truly believed, hear this, that people's eternity was at risk? Can I say that again? What if we truly believed that people's eternity was at risk? That we had to tell them with the love of the gospel. We have the best answer in the world. His name is Jesus. Let's get crazy. Number three, crazy about taking big, bold risk of faith. Everybody say, ouch. Ouch. Act like you just stumped your toe. Ouch. Ouch. All right. You've said it before I even say it. About crazy about taking big, bold risk of faith. We say we are people of faith. And at times people struggle to tithe. Ouch. If you're scared to live on 90% because God asks you to tithe 10%, the question is, are we people of faith? That's just crazy to think about. I've heard all the arguments on the tithe. People want to redefine the word. The word tithe in the Hebrew literally means 10. It's really hard to argue that around. I've heard all the arguments. You know, one of the biggest ones I hear in the body of Christ, Pastor, I give so much to charity. You know, I don't have to be bound and legalistic about 10%. I just give so much to charity. But I always say, I want you to go home, and for the last year, I want you to write everything you gave on charity. You know, not one person has ever done that. You know why? Because the average American gives 2 or 3% to charity. I don't want you to get all legalistic with 10%, but if you're not fulfilling the bare basics of 10%, ouch. What if we got big, bold, crazy in our faith? As Robin said, it's really easy if you've tithed since you were 8 years old. My grandmother, I used to say, Grandma, my mama gave me $5, and she said, how much of that's Jesus's? It's really hard when you're 40 years old and you're like, dude, I get paid pretty good. This is a lot of money. That's why we are people of faith. God has been so good to me. Now, let me go a step further. This is not a part of my sermon. This is just extra. If you are not a good steward of your 90%, you need to seek advice elsewhere. If you are in debt, in credit card debt, you need to seek advice to become a good steward of the 90%. Because if all you do is give 10% to Jesus and then you wreak havoc on the 90%, you're going to wonder why God's not blessing you. Find out what the principles, there are principles all through this book about taking care of your 90%. And when you take care of them well, you will be prospered. God has given you principles to live them out. Crazy, bold in our faith. What if God wants us to take great risks? That could be with the tithe this year. That could be by sharing Jesus with our neighbor this year. That could be you using a talent that you know you have, but you've been scared to tell anybody because you're scared that you actually may be used in that area. Have you ever had an unction of the Holy Spirit? You're sitting at a restaurant and your waitress comes and the Holy Spirit just downloads something into your heart and you know you're supposed to say something but you just totally refuse? Anybody? Raise your hand if it, because I know I have many, many times. Many. In church too, you know? God says, I want you to speak that. No, I'm the pastor. Let somebody else do it, Jesus. No, you know, if I do it, people may think I'm fabricating something. So let somebody else do it. You know, me and God have this huge debate, and we have the debate just long enough to allow everything to die over so we don't have to do it, you know? We're at this restaurant, and this waitress and the Holy Spirit says, I want you to tell this person this. And you're like, no, that will just be way crazy. That's way big, bold faith that I'm not ready for. What if in 2020 we just decided to listen to the unction of the Holy Spirit and be obedient? I'm not talking about being mean. I'm talking about loving people. I'm talking about having such grace in our words. I'm not saying being condemning at all. I'm saying planting a seed, but be bold, crazy in our faith. Go Church in 2020 has stepped out in some big, crazy, faith-filled risk for us. We've stepped out in faith, believing in 2020 our income's going to grow by 29%. We've leased the building that we will move into in January by faith and believe that God's going to grow his kingdom. We've hired a youth pastor believing that God will provide. Go Church has set out a big, crazy, faith-filled goal. One of our goals, we give to FMI that sends missions money around the world, but we are also very targeted on the nation of Belize. Obviously so, since I'd lived there for 8 years. But in 2020, we hope to expand that target to one more nation. We don't want to just be financially focused. We want to be people-focused. We want to have such big, bold, crazy faith to believe that 25 people are going to get saved and baptized this year. to see 50 people going through our Go 101 and serving in active ministry, to see our church attendance at 200 people on an every given Sunday. We have 8 groups, so the 8th group is starting this week, to believe that God can expand that to 10 groups in 2020. Can we not have big, bold, crazy faith for us as a church? Let's get crazy. Number 4, crazy about discipleship. The new building is going to give us lots of opportunities and lots of new opportunities to disciple people. The expansion and a more organized Go group process will afford us opportunity to disciple more people. Our Go 101, Our Go 101 will start February 2nd. If you have not been through our Go 101, we definitely want you to get plugged into it. 6 weeks long, it grounds you in the basic doctrines, vision, and values of who we are as a church. The beginning of our discipleship process, I'll start passing a sign-up sheet next Sunday on that. That's going to begin. That's going to start February 2nd. We have something called Go 104. It's digging deeper. It's basically taking Go 101 and just adding meat to it. We will have the opportunities to open that up this year. Our advance, we did it once last year. Hopefully, we'll do it twice this year. Our advance deals, it is a all-day Saturday retreat, if you will, that deals with forgiveness, that deals with generational curses, that deals with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that deals with... can't think of all the lessons on it. It's a powerful time of healing, just another process of discipleship. When I was at the Mid-South District Conference in October in Ada, Oklahoma, which is basically the middle of nowhere, one of the guys that spoke was a guy by the name of Grant Skeldon, a millennial who is estimated by me looking at him, probably 26 to 28 years old. There's his picture up there. He's got his ripped jeans. He's got his fancy old hairdo. I bought his book, but I don't know what I did with it. I didn't make it home with me. So someone was blessed by his book. His purpose for coming was to share with us how to reach millennials. And I think everybody in that audience, young and old, were on the edge of our seat wanting to hear these huge new nuggets on how to reach millennials. This is a couple of things he said. He said you don't have to wear ripped jeans. That's good because I don't own any. He said you don't have to wear skinny jeans. I do have some skinny jeans. He says you don't need better programs and you don't need bigger crowds. But this is what he said. He said, we have a generation that has a large fatherless population. He said, what millennials need most is a father, is a mother, is a mentor, is a disciple. Crazy. What millennials need is someone to walk alongside them, someone they can ask the hard questions, someone that they can ask the questions about what culture says and what the Word of God's saying. And beyond just talking about those, they need believers actually living this stuff out. I know that sounds really crazy for us, but they need believers that they can say, wow, I want to be like him because that man loves Jesus. I want to be like her because that woman loves Jesus. Not just saying it with their words, and they see it with their words, but they're like, dude, your lifestyle is not what you say and how you did. It doesn't really look the same. Because much of discipleship is caught rather than taught. Y'all have heard that before? So we need to begin living out the values that we say we live. And have people begin to catch who we are. What if we are crazy enough to believe that we are called, not Pastor Lee, not the pastoral team, that we as a body of Christ are called to disciple people, whether that's millennials, whether that's Generation Z, which is the next generation, whether that is young people or old people, whether that's men or women, that we are to take a personal interest in them and pour into their lives. And guess what that means? That means you inviting them over for dinner. Someone put on Facebook this morning, if we really want our churches to grow, let's stop inviting them to church and let's invite them to dinner. Wow, what a powerful concept. Church is a whole lot easier. We don't have to cook. We don't have to clean. What if they want to stay longer than we want them to? What if we loved people enough to invite them over for dinner? What if we lived life in front of them? What if we use life as teaching moments? I do that with my kids. Something will happen on TV. Something will happen on the news. Something will happen at school. And what do? We stop everything and we have this teaching moment because life just happened. We used it as a biblical process of mentoring and discipling them. I typically don't meet with my kids. We're going to meet on Monday nights, kids, and we're going to have lesson number one. We're going to have lesson number two. But I typically have teaching moments sometimes in the car, sometimes after world news, sometimes at prayer time. That's when Erica likes to do it most because that allows her to stay up a little bit longer. She's been sitting beside me on the couch for like 4 hours, not saying a word. We pray together as a family. Hey, Dad, I have a theological question. Sorry, ask me in the morning. Go to bed. Pretty much what I do. What if we use life as teaching moments? What if people caught Jesus from us like a cold? A lot of people are missing from us this morning because they texted us yesterday and today and they said, I'm sick. I won't be there tomorrow because I've got whatever is going around. You know, the more you hang around somebody that's sick, the better chance you are of getting sick. You know, my kids are sick, and they're sitting on the couch, and they're and I'm like, cover your mouth, please. I don't want to get what you got. Any other moms and dads do that? Get a towel, a napkin, something to sneeze into. Because the more you're around someone who is sick, the more you are likely to catch what they have. Could that not be the same with Jesus? The more they hang around people living out the values of Jesus, the more likely they are that we plant seeds that they will come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Maybe it's best not done in a crusade. Maybe it's best not done by going door to door, although all of those are great. Maybe it's best done by you, by Shelley at work, saying, hey, would you come? Building relationships and loving people. Would you set a goal this year to mentor just one? To mentor just one. Could we get crazy about discipleship? And please, please don't say, well, I can't disciple anybody until I've been discipled myself. Can I just say that's a cop-out, my friends? Unfortunately, people are raised in the body of Christ, and unfortunately, some were never mentored by anybody. I am sorry, but I can't change your past. I can't change it. But you can change the past for somebody else. You may say, well, I don't know what I'm doing. Guess what? None of us do. It's kind of like being a parent the first time you have a baby. We don't know. We can read all the books in the world. We don't know until we got this baby here and figuring it out, you know? Sometimes discipleship, I can give you all the great advice, and I'm sure it's wonderful advice, but sometimes the person you're discipling, all of those books and all of my insight has nothing to do with how you need to mentor that person. And you say, well, until I get discipled, I can't disciple. That is simply just a cop-out. What if your word to them is like, Don, I'm like, really messed up. I got some struggles. Please don't look for me as any kind of mentor. But man, I know two are better than one. Can we not walk together in this journey? Can we not struggle with the word together rather than me just do it alone? Can we not do it together? Anybody? Could we in 2020 find one that we would pour Jesus into? Just one. Could we not get crazy about discipleship? For our vision is to love God, to love people, to reach people, to disciple people. You've heard me pray, say this a million times, and I'm almost done. But the Great Commission is not complete when we pray a prayer with somebody to accept salvation. In fact, the Great Commission says nothing about praying a prayer with someone to receive salvation. Now, I'm not arguing. I'm saying I think that's very important. I think everybody making an individual personal relationship with Jesus Christ is very important. But the Great Commission is not complete when we do that. The Bible does not say, go into all the world and lead people to salvation, then disciple them. The Bible says, go into all the world and make disciples. Obviously, we have to lead them to Jesus, but we fail the Great Commission as a church. We fail our mandate to go if all we do is pray a sinner's prayer with people. God has called us to father, to spiritually mother, to mentor, to disciple people. It's done in the context of who we are when someone who visits walks in, that they feel unbelievably loved by a people. That we make sure that every person that may be sitting by themselves that we connect to, when we meet in small groups, that we leave nobody out. But it goes beyond the context of this building. It goes into our small groups, and we make every family. When someone's missing, we be sure and call them, not to get on to them. RJ, how come you weren't at Go Group today? I'm so mad at you. You need to go. You know, God, you know, and use God as your weapon. No, you love him. You missed him because he's a good friend. And it goes beyond our small groups. It's just us inviting somebody over for dinner. Could we not get crazy about discipleship? Would you stand with me this morning? Shelley, may I say thank you? When I was looking at you, you looked like you got all teary-eyed, made me start crying, so I had to turn away and just look over here. Look away from Shelley. Don't cry. Don't cry. Don't cry. Could we get crazy in 2020? Crazy about living out this book? Could we be a people that really believes this? Wow. So wild for the world to see. Could we get crazy about loving people like never before? Could we get crazy about taking big, bold risks of faith? Could we get crazy about fathering or mothering, about discipling somebody in 2020? Would our leaders begin to make their way up? I believe lots of y'all have made, whether you want to call them New Year's resolutions, maybe goals, maybe something the Holy Spirit just spoke to you right now. Things that need to change in 2020. Things that you need to get crazy about. Maybe it's one of the four things that I just talked about. Maybe it's, God, I want to read your word like never before in 2020, and I just need help. In just a moment, I want you just to join with somebody in prayer. It's always good to come forward and join with somebody in prayer. I've said this a lot. If you make that decision at your seat, the moment you leave here, you will forget that decision and you will never do it. But when you actually attach with another human being and you said, pray for me, because this year I want to read the word, then it's come out of your mouth. You've confessed it with your mouth. You are far more likely to walk that out than hiding it and leaving and forgetting what that was. Perhaps this morning you're struggling in an area in 2020. You're in front of an obstacle and you are looking for your miracle. And you're believing 2020 is that miracle and you just want somebody to join you in prayer. And that's why we're up here. Maybe you're in this room this morning and you want to recommit your life to Jesus Christ. And you're saying, man, this is my year to live out this book. If you have a need, would you make your way up right now? If you have decisions to be made, would you come up here right now? Please don't be afraid. If you say, this is my year that I will make decisions for my life. If you need prayer for somebody you want to mentor and you just don't know how to approach it, would you just come? You feel the Holy Spirit is speaking to you to take big, bold, crazy steps of faith. You just want to agree with somebody. Would you begin to make your way up? you, God. If you are in the congregation, if you would just quietly pray and intercede for those that are up here. Would you come? If you still need to come, it's not too late. Yes, God. Thank you, God. Just going to keep you a couple of more minutes, but if you still need to come, would you come? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. There are people receiving ministry right now. I just want, as we start the New Year's out, I just want to say thank you to all the set up and tear down, the men who unload, the women who set up the foyer and the classrooms and the sanctuary, the worship team that does. It's a lot of work. We thank you so much for helping. We know it gets old, but thank you for your faithfulness. It's almost done. Hey guys, it's been almost, it's been like a decade since I've seen y'all, and I didn't see y'all since the last decade, and last year as well, and so it's so good to see you in church. Please don't stay away like you did from last week to the last year. Please come faithfully every week. Please don't stay away for a decade. I'm trying to be joking, but it's not working. My corny jokes, my stand-up humor is not working too good, Edgar. Thank you for being a part of Go Church. 2020 is going to be an amazing time. Get ready for good things to come. Father God, we thank you for the team that you've brought us. God, we bless those who aren't here this morning that are sick or still traveling, God. We lift them up to you, but God, we thank you for the ones that are here to worship on the first Sunday of the new year. To say, God, you are, this is the first fruits of the year. And we give our worship to you and you alone, God. Father, let us be a people that get so crazy about living out this book. Let us get crazy about loving people like never before. Let us get crazy about big, bold, crazy faith steps in our lives. And let us get crazy about fathering somebody and mothering somebody this year, God. God, we're excited about what you want to do through us, because you are the God that will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or even think, according to your power that works in us. We praise you for that, God. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Greet somebody before you leave. Have a great week.